Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome again to another week of Health Talk Radio. This is Donald, your host. Hope everything is going well for everybody. Hope everybody had a productive week. I'm excited again to be back here for another week doing what we do, just educating and chiming in and letting everybody know what's different about life and what can be different about life. Man, thank you for joining. Darwin, thank you for joining, man. Wayne, Vernon, thank you for joining, man. My heart goes out to you, brother. Bootsy, Lonnie, thank you all for joining. We're in for an exciting night. Harford, cuz, thank you for joining. I'm doing good, man. Hope you are, Bootsy. Antoinette, thank you for joining. Maryland, Philadelphia, thank you for joining. I appreciate it. So tonight, exciting topic for me is one of the things that, really helped me when I realized that I had to get my health together. And, you know, I messed my knees up playing football and just couldn't really, you know, get them healed. You know, doctors want to scope your knees out and do surgery and all of those particular things, but I realized that that didn't have to be done, and it does not always have to be done. And so, you know, through the gracious goodness of the Creator, you know, He connected me with somebody who changed my life forever, and that's why I come here every week to share, because I didn't have this information for my mother when she was living. I didn't have this information for myself when my son was born with three fingers on his left hand. So for me to be able to understand and search and learn what we need to do and get it out to the masses is my purpose and my passion. So I appreciate all of y'all joining me. And the root of everything that we do from a health aspect, and, you know, I talk to people who say, you know, I've tried everything, I've done everything, and you know, I just can't seem to either lose the weight or I can't seem to get healthy. If you're taking different types of prescription drugs, you're trying to figure out, like, you know, why am I taking all these drugs? I'm still feeling the same. I've had a surgery that was supposed to help, especially people who I've talked to that have back surgery, you know, and they're like, man, I had this surgery. This was supposed to help, and that was supposed to help. And you still never really get any relief. And then you try, somebody says, you know, man, let's try something natural. Let's do something natural. Because your body's beating you down. You know, being a carpenter and a contractor and playing football, I mean, every day you come home and there's something going on. And then, you know, people tell you when you get 40, everything starts to break down. And it's true if you've been without nutrition for 40 years, but if you've been taking care of your body, even if you've had times where you haven't taken care of your body the best, but you start to turn it around, your body will rebound. Your body will understand the differences between bad stuff and good stuff and good health and bad health. Your body really wants to fight to be healthy, and it will heal itself if you just give it what it needs. And so one of the things that I started doing when I realized that I had gotten up to 285 pounds and I couldn't really work out because my knees would bother me. I had plantar fasciitis in my foot, and it was just a problem. You know, every day you wake up, I mean, to get out of the bed, you stand up and sit back down. Because your foot not ready to wake up yet. And, you know, throughout all that time, I was like, it can't be just getting old. It can't be just because I played football. I sweat a lot. So that was the other thing that I learned. When you sweat, the more you sweat, the more nutrition you sweat now. Because sweat is just not toxins. That's what I used to think sweat was. It was just toxins coming out of the body. But sweat is some toxins, but it's also the soup that's in your bloodstream. It's your vitamins, your minerals, your amino acids. That's what's in your sweat. And when you don't replenish that properly, then the body becomes more and more nutrient deficient. And so then you say, well, you know, I got to eat healthier. I got to be healthier. So we start to look at different vitamins, look at different minerals, maybe even start to eat just, even if we don't believe in vitamins, we start to eat healthier, eating more salads and you know, good food and just trying to do different. And we do it for a while, but the cravings never go away, so we still have those breakdowns in cravings where we'll eat a good salad for lunch and we feel good, but we're still a little hungry, then we go back and get some potato chips. So we go grab that Snickers bar. And you're like, man, how can I break this? And really, it's an absorption problem. It's a nutritional problem, but it's an absorptional problem. And most of us in America have digestive disorders of some sort or the other, whether they're very small or whether it's something huge that we just, you know, they're ready to do surgery, they're ready to cut your intestines out and hook it up to a new section and all of that. But when we talk about digestive disorders, we're talking about, and if you have any of these things, you know, even if it's really minor, you think, it's going to get greater if we don't do anything different. And so that's why I'm here tonight to share with you. But some digestive disorders, the symptoms, because you look at symptoms, but the medical system looks at symptoms. They treat symptoms. Nutrition treats the root cause, which makes the symptoms go away. That's the difference between giving your body what it needs and just giving your body something to get it past, just to keep it moving along. Medicine, most of the time, prescription drugs, over-the-counter drugs, it suppresses the symptoms. It slows them down. And so you don't really pay attention to them as much because you get a little bit of relief. But the root cause is still growing. It's still getting greater. That problem is still churning away at you. And so when we talk about what are digestive disorders, we talk about things like allergies are digestive disorders. And I'll explain to you how. We talk about things like athlete's foot. Belching, which, you know, we think, oh, that man, you know, you drink soda, you drink something, and you belch. And if you have, you know, belching every now and again is one thing, but if you're belching all the time or you just seem to have a lot of gas, bloating, burping, constipation, then you get things like celiac disease, Crohn's disease, issues with diarrhea, chronic diarrhea, or irritable bowel syndrome. Dermatitis, which is skin issues, diverticulitis, ulcerative colitis. If you have food sensitivities where you're sensitive, your stomach is sensitive to certain foods, and people who have what we'll talk about, acid reflux, which is a big one, or GERD, you eat certain foods and sauces and different things, and they come back and man, put you in a whirlwind, light your chest up, heartburn. Hiatal hernia, indigestion, jock itch, leaky gut, stomach and intestinal pain, thrush. And we'll talk about thrush because most people like thrush, but that happens in babies, and we'll talk about how that happens. And then also yeast infections for women and jock itch for men. And you have to realize that your gut, all of that stuff, especially your vaginal areas, your sensitive areas for men, your private areas, all of that is right there connected to your gut. When you urinate, everything that's just was in your bladder, everything that was just in your bloodstream, you have to urinate out. So all of this stuff is connected. All of it's absorbing back and forth. And so when you look at digestive disorders, you go from something as simple as indigestion that you may have every day or every now and again or you know, burping or gas, flatulence. And you just think, oh, it might be something I ate. And then you realize, well, I can't eat anything because it gives me gas. A lot of people are lactose intolerant. Milk is not the best means of calcium for us, especially cow's milk. But that's what we've been told to drink. And most of us are lactose intolerant, especially African Americans. And it's just not, we're not built like that. If you look back to Africa, whether you believe we started there, come there, go from there, that's just where our heritage started. Either way you look at it, that melanated blood, when you look at it and you study it, does not handle lactose well. That's why a lot of milk drinkers, you don't see a lot of milk drinkers when you look at it from an African aspect, especially over in the native country. Lactose is something that will cause your digestive system to not be able to produce the right stomach acids because of how thick the casein, which is in cow's milk. And casein is one of the biggest things that when we look at why when you drink whole milk or you drink milk, that it causes you to gain weight. It causes you, you know, be big boned and all of that. And the reason why is women, mothers, make casein, and it's in their breast milk. But they make enough casein for a 120-pound person, which is what we'll grow to, the bone structure, building the bone structure of 120, 150 pound person. That's supposed to be the average size of a human being. Well, when you drink cow's milk, the casein in cow's milk is enough to make an animal that weighs a ton. So you have cows or calves that drink this milk to develop the proper bone structure, the proper bone matrix to stabilize and to be able to handle a cow. Casein is also something that's used. It's the leading ingredient, Elmer's glue. If you look up Borden is a dairy company, and they are, not only do they make milk, or not only, I'm sorry, do they not make milk, but not only do they have cows and they have farms and they have milk, but they also are the same people who make Elmer's glue. So you go look that up. And it's the casein that's used, that's extracted from that milk to use to make glue. It's also what's in cow's milk. So that's why cow's milk is not necessarily conducive for us and the lactose in it. And so most of us drink lactose-free milk, or we drink almond milk, which is, you know, a little bit better because almond milk is just supposed to be the juice from almonds. And you don't have those issues. Or if you drink lactate milk, which is lactate-free milk, organic milk sometimes will even still bother people. I like rice milk. Although I drink almond milk a lot, I love rice milk. Rice milk has a really sweet taste to it, and it's almost the consistency of between 2% and skim milk. But rice milk is really good. Also, when we talk about digestive disorders and we talk about acid reflux, now the body, the stomach acid in the body is a pH of 1, and women understand pH balance a lot better than men. You know, you got Secret, your deodorant, that's pH balanced. You got, and I'm not giving kudos to Secret because I don't believe in using antiperspirants. Antiperspirants prevent you from sweating. When you can't sweat or your body can't excrete what it needs to, that becomes a problem. So if you use those type of antiperspirants, you shouldn't, because all that's doing is clogging up and keeping the toxins within your body, because it's turning off the ability for your arms to sweat. And you can, your arms can sweat and you not stink, just like your feet sweat and they don't have to stink. We sweat 2 quarts of water through our feet every day, but they don't have to stink. What those smells come from is what's going on inside of you. So I digressed for a second. But when we talk about acid reflux, our pH in our stomach is way too high. It's about a 3 or 4, where it should be about a 1. And for some people, it's higher. When you start getting into GERD and things like that, the pH is almost neutral in the stomach. And that's the only place that the pH is that low, is that acidic. Because you'll hear me talk about the body should be in an alkaline state. And I don't want to get this confused, so I'm going to take a second to explain this. The body, in the body, it should be in an alkaline state, which means your pH should be slightly high. Anything 7.4. It's balanced. So you want to make sure that your pH is in that range, because cancer cells, disease cells cannot live in an alkaline state. But when we talk about your gut, your stomach acid in your gut, that's different. That's the only place that it should be really, really low. And that pH in your stomach is about 1. And what that means is, and the reason why that is, and even if you could take a dropper and put down your throat and squeeze out a little bit of your stomach acid and put and squeeze it on your arm, it will burn a hole in your arm. If you ever seen a Komodo dragon, the biggest lizard in the world, their pH is almost a negative. They can bite an animal and it can start decomposing the minute they bite it, and the animal will die from shock. But for us, a pH of about 1 is good. So that means when we eat food and we digest that food, we need that pH to be low enough and acidic enough to be able to break down that food into the smallest amino acids, fatty acids if you're taking fatty acids, vitamins, minerals. And what happens is that's what gets to flow through the small intestines. So you want that pH to be as acidic as possible. When I'm talking about acidity, because you want it to be able to flow over to that small intestine and not have large food particles going through your small intestine. when you have large food particles passing through the gut and not being broken down or digested, that's what you call leaky gut. That simply means that your stomach acid was not strong enough to break down food. So not only does it go through your small intestines whole, then it goes into your large intestines, and then it comes out as a whole meal or whatever it was you were eating. And so it's extremely important that your pH, you pay attention to your stomach acid, especially with acid reflux. And the worst thing that they do for you when you go to the medical system and your treatment for that is they give you an acid, or they give you something like Prilosec or Nexium or Protonix, which is kind of old or dated. But those things turn off your ability to make stomach acid. They shut down the proton pumps that make stomach acid. And when you do that, you every time you eat, your stomach is going to be upset with you. That's why they call it an upset stomach. And until you take that pill to settle your stomach acid down and to turn all of those things off, to say, you know what, this is not right, then you take the pill and it's like, all right, I feel better. So we equate that with acid reflux, having too much acid. In the case, we actually have lack of acid reflux. That means we don't have enough acid. And what you feel bubbling up, just like if you saw a cesspool of water or like a septic tank or just a bunch of mush somewhere. And if you look at it like even in situations in your own gut, you'll eat sauces and different things and they'll bubble back up in your chest. And you think that that's the acid rejecting what you ate. It's not. It's the food that's going there that does not have a place to be broken down, and it's mixing with other food, and it's creating these obnoxious gases in your stomach because nothing's being broken down. And I know for us it's kind of hard to wrap our mind around, especially if we've been used to been told the whole time in all our life that we have too much acid. We have too much acid. Babies have, and I'm talking about babies and toddlers before they get on solid food or right when they get on solid food, they have the perfect stomach acid. You know why you know they have the perfect stomach acid? And you know why you know they have the perfect digestive system? Because when you have a stool like a child, and that thing curls all the way around the toilet 2 or 3 times, and you're like, how did this log come out of you? That is the actual everything that's falling through and following through the intestine. That's how bowel movements should look. But when you start having runny bowel movements, or you start having bowel movements that are extremely hard and they drop out like rocks or little pebbles, or it's just like an explosion, that's not healthy. So you look at a child, and they have the right amount of stomach acid. And if you ever have done a liver detox at any point in time, this liver detox, 30-day liver detox that we do is extremely, extremely valuable. And we do that every month. There's a different group. I did it back in November. I'll be doing it again in April, middle part of April. And the thing about that detox, man, is when you finally get to where your body's balanced, and you see that stool come out of there, and it looks like you was 5 and 6 years old. I mean, you almost want to take a picture of it. It's so pretty. And that's when you know your digestive system is in balance and it's working properly. Now, one of the things that happens when we don't take care of our digestive system, or when we eat things that are not conducive to our bodies, we start to have a breakdown in our small intestines. And in our small intestines, there are these little finger-like villi. There are these little finger-like villi in our small intestine. And that is what, you know, catches the food particles as they go through. They look like little worms. And that's what catches the food particles as you're digesting food. And when you start to get to a point where these villi are being worn down because of this, you know, healthy villi are very tall. But when they start to wear down, then you get almost like a hose. When you look at somebody who's gluten intolerant or they have really bad digestive issues, it looks like a hose. It almost looks like their small intestines has poison ivy in it. And that's what you see with people who have celiac disease. Their small intestines is ravaged. And so they're not able to absorb nutrition, because absorption happens in the small intestine. So if the food that you eat is not properly broken down because you don't have enough stomach acid, by the time it hits your small intestine, it's coming through as whole pieces of food or not breaking down, and it damages those villi. And when those villi start to get damaged, then they start to wear down. And food particles, as they come through the small intestine, they float kind of over top of these little finger-like villi, and those villi are what grab the food particles and pull them down into the bloodstream. And once they get down into the bloodstream, that's how they get into your body. So that's how nutrition gets into your body, through the bloodstream and through the small intestines. So people say you are what you eat, and that's somewhat true, but more or less you are what you absorb. If you're eating things and you're not absorbing it, or you're taking vitamins and minerals and different things and you're not absorbing them, then it does you no good. And so when we talk about how to properly eat, that's one of the reasons why you eat healthy, because you got to keep good gut health. You have a brain in your head, and you have a brain in your stomach. And your brain in your stomach, which is your gut, and the brain in your head has almost the exact same makeup. And that's why people say, trust your gut instinct. Your gut actually talks to you, as your brain does. When you think about things, when you think about something in your brain that scares you, the first thing that happens in your stomach is you get a knot in your stomach. Or if you get, before a football game, you're so anxious and you're so amped up and you don't know what to expect and you're ready for the unknown, and you get butterflies in your stomach. If you gotta, you think in your mind, hey, man, I ate this food and I got to go to the bathroom so bad. And it's a psychological thing, because the further you're away from home, it's okay. But the closer you get away, or the closer you get home, man, the worse it feels. You're like, man, I can't get in the house fast enough. It's like, how does it know that I'm that close to home? And you barely just make it to the bathroom. Your gut is an amazing thing, and it's always communicating with your brain. And 80% of Americans, I'm sorry, 80% of African Americans are gluten intolerant. And 60%, around 60% of Caucasians are gluten intolerant, and about 70% of the Latino culture is gluten intolerant. And only about 4 or 5% of the Asians are gluten intolerant. Why? Because the Asians' diet is traditionally gluten free. They eat very little gluten, very little bread. They eat rice, whether it be white or brown. They eat a lot of kimchi, which is some of your fermented foods. Fermented foods are good for good health, for gut health. So fermented foods like kimchi, like sauerkraut, but things that have been fermented for good gut health. It's a balance. They also eat a lot of spice in their foods. A little bit of spice in your food is good. That helps. But when you talk about gluten intolerance, what happens when you're gluten intolerant is that, and what's gluten, first of all? Gluten is wheat, barley, rye, and oats. Those are the things that are in gluten, or those are the things that gluten is in. So when you eat wheat, barley, rye, and oats, the gluten proteins or the wheat proteins, when you digest them, they don't break down, because most of the wheat has been modified some way, shape, or form, because wheat cannot grow in the climate that we have. I'm here in North Carolina. Today it was 44 degrees and very little rain. The last 2 days, it was almost 70 degrees and we had rain, but it was warm outside. And this is February. Crops can't adjust to that. And so most of the things that are grown, but especially your wheat products, are gluten, full of gluten, but also have to be modified to be able to survive not only the pesticides and the pests, but also the weather. And so these carbon chains, when this gluten breaks down to this wheat protein and you swallow it, it just tumbles through your small intestines. And as it's tumbling through your small intestines, it's breaking up and tearing up those villi. It's almost like a ball and chain, somebody throwing a ball and chain down a hallway full of pencils, standing up. You stand pencils up and you got them, or dominoes, better as a better analogy, and you throw a ball and chain down the hall. You're going to damage some of those dominoes. You're going to knock them over. And if you continue to do it, you won't have any. and then you'll throw that ball and chain down in it and just slide right down there like a bowling ball. You don't want your stomach to be like a bowling alley lane. You want it to be full of those villi so they can grab the food particles and you can digest them. But when you don't, that wheat tears them down. And then you have symptoms like asthma, eczema, constipation, and diarrhea. If you've ever had any of those four, most likely you're or one of them or all four of them, you're gluten intolerant. And what happens with gluten intolerance is it's passed on from the mother to the child through the cord blood, because what she eats, you eat. That's where you talk about things like thrush coming into play. Or a mother breastfeeds and she eats a lot of bread or she eats a lot of pasta or she's eating gluten foods, and that upsets the baby's stomach. And then you'll hear her say, well, yeah, I tried to breastfeed, but, you know, the baby doesn't like the milk, or it makes their stomach upset. If the mother takes 2 weeks and goes on a gluten-free diet and starts to take the proper nutrition, that baby can suckle and nurse all at once. But then what they'll do is the system will put you on formula, and formula, especially the three major ones, Similac, Gerber, and Enfamil, they only have 20% of the nutrition that a child needs. So when you're looking at it from that fashion, now you give your child formula, and that formula is not even helping them grow, helping them become strong, and giving them all the nutrients it needs. If you buy puppy food for a dog, or kitten food for a cat, or calf food for a cow, it has 100% nutrition. But human baby food and formulas only have 20% of the nutrition that a child needs. That's a big problem. And so then our children start to get off, and then once we wean them off of milk, then we start to give them things like McDonald's French fries and French toast and Eggo waffles and syrup and all of these particular things that Pop-Tarts and strudels and all of these quick things that we just pop in because we're rushing out in the morning instead of sitting down and making them some eggs, maybe some turkey bacon, cutting up some sweet potatoes and putting on their plate and having that for breakfast, or having some gluten-free products, gluten-free waffles, gluten-free pancakes, put some butter and honey on it. But a lot of us just don't have that kind of time. And so we get what's quick, and our children like it because it tastes good. But all of a sudden we create a problem, and the children's bowel habits are not that good. Then their eating habits get off, or they're sensitive to a lot of foods. And you find this in children who are severely malnutrition. They have so many cravings, but so many foods they're sensitive to. One, because they don't have the stomach acid to be able to help it. And two, because their system is so ravaged with the toxins and all of the things that are in a lot of these toxic foods that we give them, that we throw in the microwave. We give them Lunchables. I don't know if you ever read, my son is 7 years old, and he goes to school with kids who, if they don't eat school lunch, they may have Lunchables and different things. And he will say, can I get one? And I make his lunch every day. I mean, it's 99% of the time I make his lunch. And 99% of the time he eats breakfast in the morning. I make him breakfast in the morning. So I know two of his meals I can control. And then at dinner time, I make his dinner, with the exception of Fridays where he gets to go out and pick something where, you know, we take him somewhere if he's had a good week in school. But he'll say, you know, can I get a Lunchable? And one day I said, you know what, let me just take a minute, because I always tell him, no, Jamie, I make you lunch every day. It's easier for me to make you lunch than to buy you a box lunch when I'm already making it. And maybe he can appreciate that because that's what he's used to. But it is what it is. His health is my priority until he's 21 or 18 or 21. But other than that, I sat there and I looked at a box of Lunchables. And every single thing in there, from the Oreo cookie to the lunch meat to the crackers, it was a paragraph of stuff that I couldn't even pronounce. And I'm like, I would love to let you have one because you want it. It's something you want, but I cannot in good conscience buy you one of these things. I would be doing you a disservice. And he was just like, okay. And maybe he'll get it later, but I can't negotiate with his health. I'm sorry. Just because it's something you want, if I know it's wrong. And so when you eat those things, they have a lot of carcinogens in them. They have a lot of chemicals in them. A lot of it is genetically modified. And children's bodies are so susceptible to that. And that's why you have kids at such a young age being sick and having cancer and diabetes and things that you think about that old people used to get. I read it was a Time Magazine article, it was National Geographic, one of the two. You can Google it. But it said that this generation will be the first generation where the parents will be burying their kids if we don't do anything different. And that was just that just knocked my socks off, because there are a lot of kids who I've seen and talked to parents with kids who are sick with, you know, whether it be something like ADD, ADHD, or all the way down to, you know, full-blown carcinomas, cancers, leukemias, lymphomas. And it's just when you start to talk to them and you start to understand what do they eat, what do they drink, you know, and you can bring it back to a lot of the things that they've been given and some of the health problems that they already started out with. So when we talk about, and then we talk about like celiac disease and ulcerative colitis and diverticulitis. Well, those are the same, Crohn's disease. Those are all the same things. They mean the same thing, as just different severities of how far the small intestines is affected. And like I tell you, when that small intestines is affected and it looks like a hose and you don't have any villi in there, the first thing they want to do is cut a section of your intestines out. And then they'll hook up a new section way back a few feet, 3, 4, 5 feet, wherever they start to see more villi. And they'll cut it out and hook it back up. And they'll do this until you don't have any intestines left. And it'll fix the problem for a while because you still have villi there. But nobody ever tells them that you have to change your diet. You can't eat the things that you eat. You have to eat healthier. You have to take nutrition. Nobody tells them that. And so because nobody tells them that, they don't do it. And it's almost like cashing in on an insurance policy. You know, at some point in time, it's going to come due. And that's just with these people, you know, they have these particular surgeries, especially gastrointestinal surgeries and things like that. They never get any relief. Even when you look at the people who have these gastric bypass and these lap bands put on, and they eat back through them where the band breaks, or they re-expand their stomach again. And that's because the mind and the body has never been trained. You figure you have a surgery, so that means I can eat less food, and that means I can only eat these certain foods. But we never did anything about the cravings. The mind never caught up to the fact that we were going to lose all this weight so fast that it couldn't tell the skin, hey, we need to tighten up, literally, because we're about to lose so much weight. And then you have all of this skin, excess skin hanging all over the place. And that's why I tell you, the mind and the gut, they work together and concurrently and simultaneously. They talk to each other all the time. And so gut health is extremely important. And so we talk about things that we hear, things like probiotics. These are some things, some names that are thrown around these days, pre and probiotics. And they say, okay, we take yogurts, like your Activia yogurt and some of these other yogurts, or Greek yogurt. And well, most people are lactose intolerant. So yogurts only go to a certain point. And a lot of you have to eat a lot of yogurt to get the culture bifidus regularis, or to get these different digestive cultures into the body. It's better you take a good probiotic, a pre and probiotic, and that helps. That helps with the gut. Taking flora. Flora helps with the lining of the gut. Like I told you, that pH is a pH of 1. So you have to have that gut, that good lining in the bottom of your gut that houses and holds all that in there, so that fluid doesn't burn a hole through your stomach and leak somewhere. That stomach acid doesn't burn a hole through your stomach. If you have problems digesting your food, this is one of the big things that we do with people who have digestive issues. One, we get them off of gluten, and it's all done simultaneously, like I said, through the liver detox process. And in that liver detox process, one, you're going to be on a gluten-free diet automatically, because now there's a suggested foods list, and you're eating things like fruits, vegetables, lean meat, chicken, and fish. That's really all you eat, and eggs. And so pretty much your diet becomes what it's supposed to be. You're not having any dairy. You're not having any breads. You're not having any gluten. And when you do that, you have people, even people who work out a lot, and they say, man, you know, I've worked out years, and I just cannot, or I started working out. I had some great success, but I hit a wall. I can't get rid of these last 20 pounds, or I can't get rid of these 15 pounds. That's when it becomes nutritional. That's when it becomes, I got to clean my inside out. You clean out your refrigerator. You clean out your car. You clean your house. You change your oil in your car. You change the filter in your car. But we don't do it for our inside. So it's junk outside of our life, but it's also junk inside of our life. And so when we do that, that 30-day liver detox, not only does it clean our liver out, why? Because everything in your bloodstream has to filter through your liver. And remember that I said how nutrition gets into your bloodstream is through the small intestines. It's absorbed through those villi down into the bloodstream. And it's absorbed, so you get food particles, you get nutrients out of the food particles. If there's any nutrients in them, it goes into your bloodstream, then it has to be filtered through the liver. If the liver's toxic, a lot of those nutrients don't even make it through any other part of the body. And so people will say, I've been taking vitamins, or I've been taking different things for a long time. Or I take iron pills, but I'm still anemic. Or I take calcium, I'm on a calcium regimen, but I still have joint problems, or I still have back problems. Or I take vitamin D3, but my vitamin D3 levels are still low. And one thing you got to look at it is it a synthetic vitamin D, or is it a real natural source vitamin D, besides what we get from the sun? And then they tell us, oh, the UV from the sun, we got to stay out of the sun. The sun is going to kill us. People get skin cancer. People get melanomas. And if you understood how toxic sunscreen was, you ever read the back of a bottle of sunscreen? There's so many more oils, natural oils, to put on the skin than sunscreen. But sunscreen, basically, you're baking yourself. And you're baking the toxins in sunscreen right into your skin. So you have to really be careful. You have to make sure that if you're using a sunscreen that is truly all natural, or you start using oils and shea butters and different things that are really light, custards that you can put on your skin to keep it moisturized, but also has a level of UV protection in it. But when we talk about, again, those things happening and those nutrients not making it through the liver because of all the other toxins, even everything we breathe, when we breathe in the air, it's toxic. That goes into our liver. When we put anything on our skin, lotions, deodorants, shampoos, if they're toxic, if they're not natural, and you put it on your skin, it absorbs into your bloodstream within 26 seconds, which means it's in your liver. So the liver houses a lot of stuff. And that's why a lot of times when we have these people do these 30-day liver detox, they lose anywhere from 10 to 25 pounds without even exercising. I mean, you can't do nothing about it. If there's weight to lose, you're going to lose it. Also, not only that, but you get to clean the liver out. And when you clean that liver out, the body will respond miraculously. Your eyes look brighter. You sleep better. You feel better. We've seen several people, especially one guy over in Annapolis, Maryland. He had been on acid reflux medication for years, and has tried a lot of things. Had a little bit of weight on him, had a little gut on him. And I told him, I said, man, just try the detox. It's a 30-day money-back guarantee. If it don't work for you, they're going to send you your money back. I promise you. And he did it. And he got off his acid reflux medication, and he lost 25, 30 pounds. And he's still losing weight because he has the weight to lose, but now his body's back in balance. And the great thing about doing a detox like that is you're not only just detoxing your body and pooping everything out that's in your liver, but you're also reintroducing nutrition back into the body at the same time. Because you'll hear people say, I've done a 3-day detox or a 7-day detox. There's no such thing. You can call it that. But what happens when you detox is that a lot of the stones, and if anybody's ever done a liver detox, you see these stones when you go to the bathroom, that the one day or maybe 2 days on our program. That first Saturday, or that if you start on a Friday, that Saturday is your bathroom day. And you'll see these stones, and some of them will be green, and they look like stones. I mean, they look like peas, green peas, but they're stones. They're hard. And some are green, and some are brown, and then some are like white. And the ones that are green or kind of bright, they're the newer ones. The ones that are brown or darker green, they're some of the older ones. And then if you have any that's white, those are the ones that come from your gallbladder. And those ones are the ones that are starting to calcify. And so you will have those days where you'll have that day where you go to the bathroom. And you'll get a lot of stones out, but you won't get all of them out. But a lot of the toxins that get shaken up trying to get through the liver have to be reabsorbed again back through the liver and then have to be excreted through urine or through waste throughout this detox process. And that's why when you go that Saturday, and then by that Sunday, you back eating food again and you're taking your meal replacement shake and you're giving your body the nutrition, which is housing that meal replacement shake, or you have a juice that you make or a drink that you make that's going to feed you nutrition. And then you'll start to see, man, when I eat these particular foods and I eat a certain amount of calories, I'm now being able to digest that food. And people say, man, I haven't really been to the bathroom in a couple of days. Well, you haven't eaten food in a day or so, but also the food that you've just reintroduced back into your body, because you're using the right foods, your body's using it as fuel. Your body's using it and saying, I need this, and I can use it all. The more waste you have simply means you ate more waste in your food. There should not be a lot of waste in your food. I mean, when you go to the bathroom. You shouldn't have to sit in the bathroom and fill up the toilet 3 and 4 times. I just mean a lot of stuff you eat that you just ate didn't have much of anything in it. A lot of that should be used as fuel, especially if you're eating the right foods, and then you get some nutrients out of it. And the people who eat well, you still need nutrition, because the fruits and vegetables that grow don't grow in the same soil that they used to grow in. It's the same places, but there's not the same amount of nutrition or minerals or vitamins in the soil, more or less minerals, because minerals are found in the soil. And if they're not in the soil, then they're not in your food. And our body needs 60, that's 60 minerals every day. And it only takes 3 minerals to grow a plant, which is phosphorus, potassium, and nitrogen. So you have these 3 minerals that you use to grow a plant, but your body needs 60. So you eat the best salad, or organic salad in the world, and you're still 57 minerals short. That's the beauty of nutrition. It makes up for what we don't get in our food, because our foods just don't have the nutrition. Oranges don't taste as good as they used to taste, juicy and sweet. Tomatoes don't taste as good as they used to taste. And so with these deficiencies, that's what starts these deficiencies, because you're not getting the nutrients, you're not getting the vitamins and minerals absorbed into the body. You may be eating them through different things. You may be supplementing with them. But if you don't have a clean digestive system and you don't have a clean liver, your body's not going to be able to properly break these things down. And so even with different deficiencies, when you have somebody who has about 27 different, on like 27 different prescriptions, or I've seen people on 30 prescriptions or 15 prescriptions or 7 different prescriptions, and the first thing I ask them is, do you have issues with constipation, diarrhea? Have you ever had asthma or eczema? And a lot of times they say yes. They've had one or the other, or they have 4 of them, they have 3 of them, but they have them. And then I ask them, do they have any siblings, brothers and sisters? And you may have one who has eczema or dermatitis or some type of skin issue, but they'll tell you, oh yeah, my brother had asthma, or my sister has alopecia, or you know, it's different things. Or, yeah, my brother's always dealing with chronic diarrhea. He's got irritable bowel syndrome. And we never think, because it's not even for us to think, because nobody tells us. We never know that we're gluten intolerant. We never know that that was something that was passed along from our mother through the cord blood. And then you ask your mother, Ma, have you ever had these issues? And she may say yes. Have your brother and sister had these issues? They'll say yes. And so this is a thing that's passed down and passed down. But it's not heredity in the sense that you can't get rid of it. Because that's another way that the system has pigeonholed us into believing that some of these things we get, we just going to get, and we just have to deal with it. High blood pressure and different things. We don't have to have those things. Even if we get them, we still can get rid of them. You just give your body what it needs, and it will heal itself. It happens every single day, thousands of times a day. We see it. This company we've been is a global company, which means we're all over the world, 26 countries. So we see a lot of these things happening, and it doesn't matter the person. It doesn't matter what country they're from. All that matters is we all have skeletons, and we all have the same hips and knees. We all have the same bloodstream, no matter where we come from. And I'm going to tell you one thing. They talk about high blood pressure. They talk about, you know, we can't eat too much fat and these things. And if you really look at the natural way to lose weight, a lot of your diet is saturated fat. You can consume 90% of your diet in fat, saturated fat, not trans fats. That's the bad fats. That's the stuff you find in Oreo cookies and cooking oils and vegetable oils and canola oils and all of these different things, fried foods. That's all got trans fats in it. But your good fats, your saturated fats, the ones you find in your nuts, good almonds, and Brazil nuts and those different those type of tree nuts. You get a lot of saturated fats. You can eat. You look at Eskimos or you look at people that live in Alaska. They eat whale blubber, seal blubber, walrus meat, seal meat, whale meat. And you would think with all that they would have heart disease. They have the lowest incidence of heart disease in those areas because they're eating fat, good fat. So, you know, it's really one of the things that has been misconstrued about how we should eat and why our digestive systems are the way that they are. And they put probiotics out for us, and they put different things out for us on the market, but without properly detoxifying your liver. Because it takes a good 30 days for your body to reabsorb and reuptake and re-excrete and get back in balance. And that thing is laid out as a 30-day calendar. So every day you know exactly what you need to do. And the next group is starting on March the 2nd. So if it's something you've been thinking about doing, you know, we can talk. You can inbox me. You can call me. But we can talk about that. And like I said, it's a 30-day money-back guarantee. And this is not a joke. This is not a game. You know, people really need to understand that to really have good health and good gut health and good nutrition in your body, it will add 25 to 30 helpful years to your life. Nutrition is really the only way to go when it comes to staying healthy because we cannot eat enough of the same foods to get it. And, you know, you don't know how much kale and collard greens and salads you would have to eat just to get the right amount of nutrients in your body. But the first thing we have to do is start with our gut and start to be able to absorb things. And this is one of the reasons why we sit down with people and have these kinds of consultations. Because everybody wants you, everybody quick to tell you to go take something or go try something or go do this or go take this or go take that. And then you do it and then you don't absorb it. And then you say, well, man, I've tried everything. I still can't lose the weight. I still can't get healthy. I still have to have my gallbladder removed. Or I'm still having problems with my liver. I got cirrhosis of the liver, but I never drank. I mean, it's a lot of different things that will happen with your liver. And it's a lot of things that happens in your gut when you don't take care of it. And so it's best to give it the best. It's best to make sure we feed ourselves the right thing. And is it okay to have something you want sometimes, some ice cream sometimes, or this sometimes? Absolutely. But when you find that you've been doing it every day of the week, you go through a carton of ice cream in 5 days, which means you had it every day, that's not good. And you know it's not good. We eat for taste. We don't eat for health. And the taste is those cravings because food is a drug. Anybody ever wonder why they call it the FDA and they're housed in the same building? That's the Food and Drug Administration. They understand and create foods. And then turn around and create drugs around those foods because they know what the side effects are going to be. or they put certain chemicals that they would put in drugs, they put it in food because they want to make you addicted to it. Because they know if they do that, then you're going to stray further and further away from nutrition. But then once your body starts to get the right and proper nutrition, then those cravings go away. Because your body can't say, I need vitamin D. Your body can't say, I need calcium. Your body can't say, I need vitamin B12. It just says, I'm hungry. And if you crave sugar, that's a blood sugar imbalance. Your body's telling you, I have a blood sugar imbalance. I need chromium, I need vanadium, and I need about the other 23 cofactors that go along with helping that get into my bloodstream. But your body can't say that. It just says, I want something sweet. That's a blood sugar imbalance. Or I want some alcohol. I need some alcohol. That's a blood sugar imbalance. Anxiety, depression, those are chemical imbalances. Why? Because the blood sugar levels are off. And so those are the cravings you have. When you crave fried foods, French fries, fried chicken, these things, fish, and all of these different things that contain oil, you're deficient in the proper ratios of your omega-3, 6s, and 9s. So people say, oh, yeah, I take a fish oil. Okay, well, what is that? Which one are you getting? Just omega-3? What do you do about 6 and 9? And so you have to have the proper ratios of your omega-3, 6s, and 9s. That's all done for you when you're on the program. But if you don't have that, you're craving fried food. And if you, even if you start to feel healthy, you get healthy, and you start to go work out, and your body's moving, and you're losing some weight, and you're eating better, you will feel so much better. I swear you will. I mean, just that alone. But then when you add in that nutritional piece or you add in that detoxification to all of that, and you do that prior to starting to work out, because that's one of the things that I have about, seven trainers, either gym owners or trainers that personally that I work with, if they have a cheat sheet. You go to them, especially this time of year, New Year's resolution, you want to lose 20 pounds. And most people right now that still are on their New Year's resolution, they in the gym as we speak, if they still with it. And they probably, and it's been a month, let's see, this is February, almost February the 15th, so it's been a month and a half since January the 1st. And they may have lost 7 pounds, looking good, feeling good. They may have lost 10, 15 pounds, looking good, feeling good. And that's great, and that's wonderful. But what these guys do, because they've been trained and we've been taught, they put them on a detox. They say, look, you're coming to me, one, because you're overweight, or because you just want to get healthier. Everybody's not overweight, everybody's not fat, so I don't want that to be taken away from what I'm saying. But I need to feel better. I need more energy. I heard if I need more energy, I need to work out. I need to do things to increase my blood, increase my heartbeat rate or my heart rate. I need to do things to do that so I can increase the blood flow. So we say, you know what? I'm coming. I need you to work. I need you to work me out. I need to get to this point. I got to get into this dress in 2 months. I got to get into this shirt. I want to get back into my high school prom dress, whatever it might be for you. And you go to that trainer. And if it's one of our trainers, he's going to tell you, look, we need to detox first. Because you're coming to me with all these particular things that you want me to do or you want me to help you with. But I can't really help you if I don't start you off at a clean slate. And any good trainer should tell you that. And a lot of them will sit down with you. The good ones will sit down with you and they'll meal plan with you. They'll go over whether you're taking any kind of vitamins and minerals. They recommend different things for you to do. And so these ones that I'm talking about, they will recommend you do the detox. And they don't even take a penny from you to train right away because you're not training right away. That money you would take to give them to start, you put on the detox. And you buy your detox pack, and you got 30 days. And you go see him. The most you'll do throughout that 30 days is you might walk on a treadmill. You might do some stretching just to keep the blood flow going, to increase and lengthen your muscles. You want long, lean muscles. And then at the end of that 30 days, or even sometimes 12, 13 days in, people have lost 15 pounds. Helpfully, not just anorexic, sick 15 pounds. I mean, seriously, you lost a serious good 10 to 15 pounds. At the end of the detox, you've lost 20 pounds. So you've gone to him. The most you've done is walked and stretched. You lost anywhere from, I'll just say 10 to 20 pounds, 25 pounds. And he's like a genius. People are like, oh, my God. And they start to tell everybody else about him. And so he don't sit there and work out 15 people who need to lose this amount of weight or get this level of health. He starts you off there. And you look into him like, all I do is go. I go to the gym and all I do is walk for 30 minutes and get on and stretch. That's it. And I'm losing weight. People don't even realize it's the detox. We explain it to them. But then they say, wow, now I've lost this weight. Now I have to keep it off. Now, even if I had these cravings and I want to try these certain foods and I try them, they're not as palatable. They don't taste as good as they used to because your body recognizes it differently now. Your body doesn't recognize it as a drug or as a craving. It recognizes it as something, as a foreign body. Because like you put something in your mouth and it does not have any vitamins, minerals, or nutrients, so your body's looking at it like, really, what's this? Because you're eating with your body, not your mind. Because all that's been turned off. Why? Because you've gotten your liver down to ground zero and you've put back the nutrients that you need to fill it back up, to fill those nutrient tanks back up. And so now he looked like a genius. And now when you go to the gym 20 pounds lighter, 15 pounds lighter, now we can start to tone. Now we can start to lose a little bit more of the weight that you want to lose in places like your gut or places where you need to tone that up. So now we can do some ab workouts and get super, super duper results pretty quick. And so you work with some of these trainers 90 days, 60 to 90 days, and you are a new person. Not just getting to a new person, you are a new person. And so that's why, you know, the effectiveness, doing things the right way, and having somebody who is a third-party source telling you to do them the right way. I talk to so many people day in and day out who won't try out, won't, you know, they may not get on the program, they may drag their feet, but the information is valuable, and that's the only reason I come here, is to give you valuable information. I can help you, and we can line you up with the right situation for what it is you need, but it's the information so you know what to do. Because most people want to be healthy. Most people want to feel good. Most people want to lose weight. Most people want to just be healthier. And I don't see too many people wake up in the morning like, man, I'm so glad I'm sick. Most of the time you hear people, I'm tired of being sick and tired. I'm just tired. I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of being fatigued. Like people are like, man, like what is it that I can do? I've tried everything. And nobody set you down and said, you know what? Let's get back in tune with your body. Let's let your body start over. Let's hit the reset button. Go to Staples and get that easy button. Let's hit that real fast. And that's what we're here for. And that's why I'm on here, on the radio, on Facebook Live, all at the same time, just to reach my group and my organization of about 508 people. It's strong, and people are starting to see a difference. And when people see a difference and they feel different, they share it with the world. This Black Panther movie coming out, or out, and you heard all these people. It's on the radio. It's everywhere. And if somebody go and see it and it's good, they're going to tell 50 other people. You just went to a new restaurant that opened up, or you went to some restaurant that you've been going to, and they got the best seafood in the world, and you, or the best fish or whatever. And you can hardly wait to get out of there and talk to somebody and tell them how good it was. And you'll do the same thing with your body. The only difference is this company will cut you a check as a thank you, just for saying, you know what, thank you for referring this person. Thanks for referring that person. But not only that, thank you for taking a chance on your health and trying us and seeing something different and doing something different. And they'll send you a thank you check. I've not seen one movie theater send out a check for you bringing 50 people to see a movie or a restaurant. They might give you a gift card. That's true. They might not. But if you say, look, if I can bring 10 people here, will you give me a gift card to come back, or will you send me a check? Send me some money, because I might not want you here again, but that what I had was good. Well, I live out of state, so I'm not coming back here. But cut me a check. I send 20, 30 people here. Or even just 5. They're like, okay, thank you. Seriously, health, though, is job number one. And we just, we so busy. We move so fast day in and day out. We sit in traffic. We got to get the kids to school. We got to stay up late to help the kids. I mean, there's so many things that we have to do. And we just grab whatever. And it's amazing how this country has it set up where everything is right there. You walk into a gas station. I remember, you remember gas stations? When there was nothing inside of a gas station, you just paid for your gas at a booth, and they had oil in there maybe, some gas cans. Now you walk in a gas station like grocery stores. People go shopping, grocery shopping at a gas station. Most of the unhealthiest stuff you can find is in a gas station. Grocery stores. Certain grocery stores in certain places don't have the same nutrition and same food as the other grocery stores across town. That's all by design. Exactly. So we have to be conscious of our health. We have to be conscious of how we look at food, how we look at eating, how we look at health. Because traditionally, if you just – and just don't take my word for it. Just look at what you've done over the last 5 years in the world of health for yourself. And if you struggle with that weight, or if you struggle with those cravings, or if you struggle with that insomnia, just look at that. Whatever it is for you, asthma, whatever it is, and I guarantee you that so far right now, you've accepted it as being normal. You just say, man, that's just, it's just what it is. And the medical system helps you because they tell you, hey, you got to take this little pill for the rest of your life. But it's not going to fix anything. It's just going to help keep things. It's going to help you manage things. They're not interested in fixing anything. And they're not interested in giving your body what it needs to fix itself. We have to just look at that. Look at the friends and family. Look at the people we have around us. Look at the people who've gone on before us. And look at what they may have passed away from. Because a lot of things people passing away from are so preventable. And we're not a society where we're into a lot of prevention. We don't do the preventive maintenance on our car, although you look in the glove box and they have a whole schedule laid out for when you're supposed to take your car 20,000 miles, at 40,000 miles, at 50,000 miles. We're not good at that. We're not good at doing the things that we need to do at our house, taking care of your water heater or taking care of your garbage disposal or changing the filters in your air conditioning unit. Something breaks, and they're like, man, we could have just done these things along the way. So we're just not that type of society. Some people are more disciplined than others, but for the most part, we're just not, and I say society, I'm speaking as a whole, just not those kind of people. We're reactive. And when we get reactive, we get scared. And that's when they pounce because they know we're scared and they know they can scare us. And so we just do things. We just take their word for it. And even though we hear something that sounds a little bit better or we heard something that may sound, man, that makes sense. I should do that. Now you run this fight in your mind like, should I have this gastric bypass or should I let them cut a section of my intestines out or should I take 30 days and do this liver detox? Well, but I've had this problem so long, I don't think the detox will be able to fix it. I mean, I know they say it's good, but I mean, I have a lot of problems. So my insurance, my copay is only going to be $40 for this whole surgery. They're going to cut out 2 feet of my intestines, and they're going to hook up a new section where I got some good villi, and I'll be able to eat what I want and all that stuff. And then you look at the detox, and you're like, man, I can feel really, really good, and I can start my health over. But I got to pay for it out of pocket. I mean, I know $250 is not really expensive. I buy that in groceries. I buy that in stuff I don't need. I buy that stuff on Black Friday that I don't need. So, I mean, I can get it, but I had this problem so long. And then I got to eat right. You know, I can't have my fried chicken no more. I can't have the McDonald's breakfast sandwiches every morning. I can't go to Chick-fil-A three, four times a week. And that's the fight that people have. The disciplined ones can do it. But it's not many of us. It's not many of us knows in our society. Until you run across those ones that you're sick and tired, and they like, man, I'm ready. And for some of those people, that's when you get to your stage four cancer people who got a couple of weeks to live. That's when you get to people who are on the heart transplant list. That's when you get to people who are looking for kidneys and liver and all of those things. And it's so hard. It's such an uphill struggle because they've been deficient so long and their body's been beat up for so long. Or they don't have any intestines left. And now they're ready to just hook a tube up from your stomach to your butt. That's when it becomes hard. And those are the people a lot of times we run into. If we just did a little bit every day. And, you know, I tell people when they say, well, I use the detox, and it's $250. And people say, $250, man. So you know what? That's $7 a day. Between $7 and $8 a day. We do that at Chipotle. We do that at Chick-fil-A. We do that at Starbucks. Every day. Or even when we go to the grocery store, we'll buy some random chips and ice cream. That's $8. So, you know, when I tell people that's $7 a day, $7, $8 a day, your body ain't worth $7, $8 a day. We look at the price of gas. Gas is only $2.40. That's just $2.40. You can get 1 gallon of gas for $2.40. But you got to fill up your whole car. That's a lot more money. That's the way we look at gas. The same way we look at our health. We got to fill up our whole body. We got to do something to our whole body. When all I'm telling you is this, $7 to $8 a day. You just pay for it all at one time. But the benefits you get over 30 days is remarkable. The digestion you have, because of the digestive enzymes you take, you build back up the stomach acid in your stomach. You build back up the ability to be able to absorb your food. And that's what's most important. And health, feeling good about yourself, looking good, sleeping good. That's the biggest benefit you can have. So I appreciate you guys that have joined. And if you have any questions, again, feel free. You can inbox me. You can call me, 919-599-0916. Always look forward to having a conversation. Always look forward to helping. Always look forward to learning. If there's something you know and you want to share, let's talk about it. I come to this platform because I've studied, I've researched, I've done the things that, and I've had tragedies in my life around health. And I've learned the answers and I've seen them work. The testimonies are through the roof. But better yet, it's just always a little bit of information that people need to save themselves. It's not a lot. And so that's what I look to do is just bridge that gap and create a different dialogue. So many things on TV and you see on a computer, but not too many of these conversations happen every day. Discussions happen every day. Even if you thought that somebody should have heard this, and you're like, man, I wish such and such was here to hear this, text me, and I'll send you a recording of the call. Or you can share it on Facebook. Please share. If you heard something today, just share it. Because you don't know who's there to listen or who needs a word right now. Who's sick and tired of being sick and tired? My mentor always says something that I love so much and it's so wonderful. You never know what you might say today that will affect millions and millions of people tomorrow. And that's real. And so for me, I enjoy this. I love it. I love researching from week to week. Just to have a topic to speak on. Some people send me topics and we speak on those. But this is just what it's all about. And so I appreciate all in and join in. If you're on the radio side and you have a question, you can press 1. And if you press 1, that'll give me a cue and I can take your question right here on live. How often do we need to detox the liver? That's a very good question. Liver detox. If you're just starting out and you have some health challenges, liver detox you want to do at least every 6 months in the beginning. And because it's going to take a couple of rounds for you to really get, especially depending on how bad off you are. But it's going to take a couple rounds to do that. Me, I try to do about every 6 months to a year. That's normally pretty good. Because you look at yourself, really, and once you do the first one, you feel good, you've lost some weight, and then you're like, man, especially if you got weight to lose or you got health to gain, you might lose 20 pounds, but you got to lose 100. And so you will start to lose some of that weight, and then through the eating and the different things that we do once the detox is over and continuing to take your nutrition, you'll start to drop some weight. But also you'll still have those times where you might relapse a little bit, or you might work in an environment where you're around a lot of those foods, or you're around a lot of toxins. People who work in fast food restaurants and in regular restaurants, they standing over those fryers, those French fryers or those frying machines, and the vapors and the fumes from that oil is just being breathed. You're just breathing that in the whole shift. Man, I mean, that can wreak so much havoc on your body. You know, we don't think about that. It's like secondhand smoke. You know, you may not eat the fried food. You may not eat the food at the restaurant that you work at, but you're around a lot of those toxic foods and fumes that restaurant gives off. I saw a guy from Outback Steakhouse, and his job was he makes the blooming onions. And I was like, man, do you like them? He said, I can't eat them things. And I said, well, how do you feel about breathing in all of those vapors and fumes from that grease? He said, man, it's the worst. And I can understand that. I can really understand that, how bad it is to be able to stand over those fryers and breathe in all those toxic fumes from stuff frying food all the time. But, yeah, 6 months to a year, every 6 months, closer to a year as you get to where you need to be, is a good time to detox the liver. Any more questions? Thank you for that. That's right. You know, we don't think about those things. I mean, breathing in those toxins from those fried food. I mean, even if you know, people who cook for their families, and you may not even eat what's being cooked, but your husband, you know, or your wife wants certain things, certain fried foods, and you go ahead and make it for them, but I'm not eating it. You know, cafeteria workers. I mean, and a lot of those people will suffer from emphysema and cancer just from breathing that stuff in. So, yeah, to your point, you're right. We don't necessarily think about it. We don't even think about just the fumes we breathe in standing out at the bus stop or just in a crowded city like New York. And you think about all those car fumes being breathed in every day. All of that stuff that's what goes into your liver. That's what causes your liver to be toxic. Not let alone the stuff that we put on our skin. Like I said, whatever you put on your skin that's toxic gets in your bloodstream within 26 seconds. So not only are you breathing it in, you, grease popping on you, or you put that, you go back and read the bottles of shampoo you have, or look at the makeup you have, and look how toxic it is. And you know you put that on your skin. That's in your bloodstream within 26 seconds. So now that's in your liver. Not to mention the bad foods we eat. So that's why a lot of things, when we talk about detoxing the liver, may not just come from diet. It may come from just the things that we're around every day. Or if nobody tells you, use a natural shampoo. Use a natural conditioner. Make sure your makeup doesn't have any toxins in it. Make sure your lotions don't have toxins in them. Make sure your toothpaste doesn't have toxins in them. Because you may have one thing that's toxic, but you may not have, but just think about every day you get up, we brush our teeth, we take a shower, whether we do it at morning or night. So we may use a soap that's toxic. We may use toothpaste that's toxic. Then we'll turn around and we put some kind of grease or moisturizer in our hair. You read the back of that, that's toxic. You might wash your hair every day, depending on hair type and color and all of that. You may have to wash it. You look at that shampoo, that's toxic. You go downstairs and you cook breakfast, and you fry some bacon, and you fry some eggs, and you make your hash browns, and you fry them, So you ate fried foods and you're breathing in toxins. Then you go to McDonald's for lunch, and that, or you go to Chick-fil-A for lunch, and you don't see those. You don't see. That's why if you ever look to the, if you're ever in Chick-fil-A or places like that, and you look how smoky it is in the back. All of those fumes being contained from the, trying to be contained from the outside world. But you're walking into that, and you breathe that in. You're standing at the drive, you're sitting in the drive-thru with your window down, and all the cars are running, and you're breathing in those toxins. I mean, we can't get away from it. I can do a whole hour just on the stuff we breathe in and put on our skin. And so that's why, you know, we talk about detoxing every 6 months, just because of that, that alone. So, you know, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And in order for us to maintain good health, we have to keep the inside of our bodies as clean as the outside. And not only that, but we have to put the good food in. We have to put the good nutrients in. And if you have something that works for you, great. If you got some good nutrition regimen that's working for you, and you're on a food regimen and it's working for you, my hat's off to you. I love it. I appreciate it. Because that's what it's all about. It's that prevention. If you have children and you got them on a good schedule where they're eating their fruits and vegetables and they're taking their vitamins and they're getting very little fast food and very little bad foods from the grocery store, my hat's off to you. Because it's us. We have to make that decision. So we might make a bad decision for ourselves, but we shouldn't make bad decisions for our children. And this is one of the things when we go in churches, we go to church and we talk about being spiritually healthy. What about physically healthy? You talk about the spirit, you talk about the body, but then we go downstairs and we eat fried food. You can't do both. And then you pray over it, hoping that God is going to remove all the bad stuff that's in it. That's not fair. Yep, that's right. You always, and it's true. It's true, Myra. You always feel better when you do the right things. And that's why staying on top of your nutrition is important, because we can do it for a while. We can eat the right things for a while. We can be conscious of everything for a while, and then something in life will happen, because that's the way life is. I mean, life is amazing. It will hit you with everything it got and see if you can still stand up. And we get off track somewhere, and we know exactly where it was when we sit back and think about it, and we see the decline start to happen, and then we stop and we change it and we get back good again. And that's one of the things that makes you understand that the body wants to work. The body wants to do well. It wants to heal itself. And so when you are mindful and when you pay attention, those things continue to happen. But also making sure that you're getting that good nutrition in your body, also making sure you're taking care of the inside of your body. That's the most important thing. And so, yes, I definitely, you're 100% right. But the other thing is you got to look one step past that is, why do we relapse? And, yes, some of it is the stress of life. But also those cravings overtake us. And those cravings are just nutritional deficiencies. It's nutrients that we're not getting. And then when we don't get those nutrients, we get cravings. And then the cravings start. And we say, you know what, I'm going to treat myself today because I've been doing really good. And that treat turns back into a regular routine. And so we got to keep an ongoing cycle and an ongoing chain. But you must be doing really good because you always look good. Your family looks good. And, you know, so keep up what you're doing. And I'm here to help. Call me, ask questions. I'm always here. That's right. You're right. We do ask God to bless the foods that we know that's killing us. Remove the impurities from it. Let it nourish our bodies, but we know there is no nourishment in it. Like, you know, and I think, too, it's great that you're mindful of it, because I think, too, so many people just used to saying it. We've just been indoctrinated into saying that same thing over and over and over again, but we don't really ever sit back and figure out what that all means. So you're right. And when you know when you're doing the right thing, God is blessing you because, one, why? You start to feel better. You start to look better. The cravings go away. And then somehow there's a breakdown in there. We can call it the devil reintroducing himself. We can call it cravings coming back. We can call it a lot of things, but we get to a point where we start to fall off again. But, yeah, I mean, we got to be mindful of the things that we ask for and the things that we pray for and the things that we ask the universe for, whatever it is for you. however you communicate with your source. That's why they have to be careful what you ask for. Because if you pray over that, you ask for that, then you're asking for cancer, you're asking for all the things that come with that, diabetes and all the things that come with that. So I definitely appreciate you chiming in on that, because it's good to know that you're mindful. And there's probably a whole lot of people that are mindful but still do it. And that's, like you said, that fight that we have to keep fighting. And we just hope we stay in good graces, because we make mistakes. But to keep making the same mistake over and over again when you know it's wrong, that's insanity. And I don't know I don't know how that looks on the other side, but I appreciate that. Any more questions from the people on the radio or anybody on live? Anybody else got any questions or comments? I appreciate you having this discussion with me. I do. Everybody who's chimed in, everybody who's asked a question or made a comment, just create the dialogue so when people go back, they can read this and they can look at it and put one and two together and make some changes in their own life. So we're coming up on 8:30. I try to stop around 8, but we got comments, we got questions, we having a discussion, we're going to keep it going. But, you know, I just appreciate everybody. And, you know, like I said, pay attention to your digestive system. Understand that your digestive system is the most important thing to absorption of food. We have to have good gut health. We have to have good stomach acid. We have to have good intestines. The villi in our small intestines has to be good for us to be able to absorb nutrition, for us to be able to absorb some of the nutrients that are in the foods we have, for us to be able to break down the foods that we have. So in order for that to happen, we have to have a clean liver, which is why we detox our liver, a 30-day detox once every 6 months or once every year. That starts the bone building. That starts the base building of health. You get back to ground zero. You clean your slate, and then you start to add back in the nutrients, and you start to add back in the vitamins and the minerals, and you start to eat good, clean food. And, you know, then you're able to make strides in your life. And anything that you can do for 66 days becomes a habit. They used to say 21, but it's actually 66 days. So even if you can, the detox is 30 days of that. It tells you what to do every single day. And then you got 36 more days, which is another month and 5 or 6 days to eat healthy, do the right things, just stay disciplined. That's a small stretch out of a whole year. 66 days out of 365. We just saying stay consistent. 299 of those days is if you do it for 66 of them, you likely gonna stay consistent for the rest of the year and the rest of your life, and especially if you have children, because we don't have a choice. If we don't want to bury our children, we're gonna have to do something different. So again, if you need to reach out to me, you want to ask any questions, you can inbox me on Facebook, you can text me, you can call me. My number is 919-599-0916. If you want a consultation, you want to sit down and talk about what's going on with you, we can talk about it over the phone. If I travel enough, where if I'm in a city, I'll come to you. But if I come to you, you got to have 3 or 4 or 5 people in the room that want to do the same thing. So it makes it worth my while to come. But I'm here. So use me as a resource. Share this. If you heard something that you thought was valuable, share it with your friends, share it with your family. Have these conversations around dinner. Have these conversations at the work. And just let's all together create a better world for ourselves, for our kids, and for the ones to come after us. I love you guys, and I hope you all have a good night. We'll be back here next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You look throughout the week, you'll get an update about what the next topic will be. I normally wait until about Wednesday or Thursday to come up with a topic, because a lot of people inbox me and they have good ideas or they want me to piggyback off of something, which may mean I might do another episode on this depending on what it is they ask me. So I kind of wait and talk to people and see what it is that I need to speak on. And then I get my research going and then we come from there. So reach out to me. Just like I said, use me as a resource. I also have the podcast to the radio, so you can text me and I can send you that. You can share it if you want to go back and listen to it. For people who don't have Facebook, they want to listen to it or they want to hear the show, you can do it on the podcast. So I appreciate you all. Thanks for the support. I hope this information has been valuable to you, and we're going to keep pushing. We're going to keep pushing. I dedicate this show to my friend John Bryan, one of my mentors, one of my close friends. He left us too soon at 78 years old. I dedicate this to my mother, who, if it wasn't for her saying, make sure this doesn't happen to anybody else, when she was suffering from cancer. That's what ignited that match. And now that match has come and turned into a bonfire. And before you know it, we're going to be burning up the world with truth and good information. So I appreciate you. I love you guys. See you next week.